former NHLer. He's now an analyst for the Blue Jackets. Jody Shelley joins us once again. Jody, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
My pleasure, guys. I'm doing great.
Nice. Well, hey, we just had a guest on who actually serenaded me when he first came on the show. So I just have to say, I was a little disappointed there was no song coming from you right there.
Well, I got nothing. Porpoise sallow, that's all I got.
Hey, tell us about Jonas. He's kind of like, man, he has been a huge surprise for the Blue Jackets and a welcome one considering Bobrovsky just, you know, he's kind of got chronic groin injury now, I would think.
Well, let's not go chronic yet because okay. It's been a couple, but I think, you know, I think he's fine. He's still young. He's going to battle back, and now he's got competition. And you're right, surprised, because we lost Bobrovsky, then we lost our backup McElhinney. Then you go to the farm and you get Forsberg, and then after Forsberg, who's Anton Forsberg, who was a starter down in Lake Erie where the Blue Jackets farm team is, then you go to the fourth guy in Korpisalo, and Korpisalo and Forsberg were battling it out up here, and Korpisalo has ran away with the net. Forsberg is now sent down, and McElhinney is backing up Korpisalo. So if you can keep up with that, the constant is that Jonas Korpisalo has come in here as a young kid, and he's played outstanding. And, you know, when you lose your top two goaltenders, you really are in a position where you're wondering what the heck is going to happen now. But he's risen to the occasion, given this team confidence again. And you guys know when there's confidence with a team, boy, that's one of the most important ingredients.
Well, you know, Columbus was one that I think this is safe to say has been a disappointing season for them. A lot of people had them as a team that would compete for the playoffs. It just hasn't happened this year. Defense, of course, early in the year, that was a big issue. The Seth Jones trade for Ryan Johansson, two young players really just, you know, starting to enter their prime at different positions. It creates a hole down the middle, of course, but, you know, gives you a guy in Jones that a lot of people think could be a staple top bearing defenseman for a long time. Jody, how has Jones fit in? And now that you've watched him every game compared to maybe, you know, five or six times a year in Nashville, what has he done that's maybe surprised you?
Well, he's grabbed the number one defensive position. He's a kid that seems like he's been waiting for that since the day he got drafted. I mean, when we got him here in Columbus, he was playing the number 4 or 5 spot in Nashville. And you could just see as soon as he got here, he was thrilled with the opportunity to play alongside Ryan Murray, who's been nothing but he's had a lot of expectations, but we haven't been able to see him grow because he's been injured so much. So those guys at top there, Seth Jones brings size, confidence, and really an ability to make the game look easy. And you guys know when you can watch a hockey game and not notice a good defenseman or any defenseman, then he's done his job magnificently. And this kid has done that. But then he has flashes of offense where he's a big guy, and he's a very good skater for being such a big fellow. And when you see him go up the ice, you'll notice his agility and his ability to get back on any play. It's pretty remarkable. So I just think every shift we've seen him grow with confidence, and, you know, it takes a little bit to settle in with new teammates, but for him, it just seemed like a natural fit. And a right-handed shot, number one defenseman at 21 years old, good piece they got in that Ryan Johansson trade.
Well, and he's being paired predominantly with Ryan Murray, right? And you look at Murray, of course, both those guys, teammates, they're both named to the North American team at the upcoming World Cup of Hockey. They can say probably safely they feel we've got our number one pairing now for maybe the next decade.
Yeah, but here's what's interesting tonight. And this morning, John Tortorella brought it up after a question was asked if he was ever going to test these guys apart. And he said, well, you look at the Oilers, they've got two dynamic lines up front. The top two lines can hurt you a couple of different ways. So the value in those guys as 1 and 1A is going to be evident if he splits them up tonight, because then he's got balance with his top two pairs. And that's the confidence he has in these two guys to carry a workload, not only together, but against a team that has that double threat in that top two lines, that they can split them up, and he thinks that they're good enough to make whoever they're playing with better. So that's the situation here with Jack Johnson out. You'll see these guys maybe split up tonight. But you're right. If they can put those two young guys together and grow together here, that's a good thing for the future here.
So if Jones and Murray get split up then, does Golubev go with Jones and David Savard with Murray?
Well, Savard, yeah, they're both right-handed shots, Savard and Golubev. So they'll probably stay. I would put Savard. You'd probably see Savard with Jones and Murray with Golubev.
Okay. Yeah, no, I thought Golubev, because Golubev, I know he shoots right, but he's been playing the left side with Savard, has he not?
He has last game, but that was just the last game. That was a one-time thing.
Okay. Fedor Tootin, how much does he have left, Jody?
I think he's got a lot. He's a veteran guy. He might need a change, and he thought he was going to get a change here at trade deadline. But in saying that, when the change doesn't come, sometimes it's amazing when a guy gets settled in and realize, you know, this can actually work. It's been a tough go with him and Torts as far as getting the ice time that he wants. But when that happens later in your career, sometimes if you can stay with the same organization and grow and be an older guy, it's not a bad thing. It's kind of like a little wake-up for him because, you know, sometimes veterans cruise along and things are going well and they expect to be in certain areas. And when things don't happen the way they think, you react two ways. You either react and get better and fit in, or you think that someone else will take you somewhere else. In this day and age, it's not going to happen all the time, and you're out of the league before you know it. So I think he's got a lot left. He's a veteran guy that's working on his game.
Jody Shelley, analyst for the Columbus Blue Jackets, former NHLer, joins us. Brandon saw a big offseason acquisition. Now, he's kind of jumped around at different spots in the lineup. Have you found, is there somebody you think he works best with that's currently, because obviously him and Johansson have played quite well together before he got dealt, but is there somebody you feel is the best fit for him to play with?
Well, he's on a line tonight with William Karlsson, this is new, and Matty Calvert. He was on a different situation with Hartnell and Wennberg, and it just didn't seem to be working. Hartnell and Wennberg found chemistry last year and really played off each other well, and Brandon saw with his speed puts himself in a great position a lot of time, but wasn't getting the puck. Now with Calvert and Karlsson, he'll be the focus on this line, and I think you're going to see big things. We watched them the last 3 days practice together, and you can already see chemistry around the net, so you know, they're still moving this guy around, but the big thing about Brandon Saad is when John Tortorella got here, he told him two things. He said, listen, use your speed and skate and don't pass the puck, shoot the puck. He was part of a team here that was looking for anything positive early in the year, and he was a guy that came in here and was trying to do too much. Tortorella has settled him down, and boy, I tell you what, when he gets the basic and skates and shoots instead of trying to be everything all in one package, he's very, very effective. It makes his line mates better.
Jody Shelley joins us. Now, looking down the middle, you've got Dubinsky, Wennberg, and Karlsson. And, you know, Wennberg and Karlsson are guys who are pretty reliable defensively, from what I understand. You know, the offense isn't there yet. But with the trades of Anisimov and Johansson, it's kind of weakened their middle. It's given them a great defense guy and a winger, so you got to give up something to get something. You look at this like, Columbus and Winnipeg, to me, are the two teams. Well, I guess Toronto, but they're so far away. Like, if Columbus could somehow win the lottery and get Austin Matthews, man, that would solve a lot of their problems very quickly.
Well, that would be a dream. I mean, you look at last year, you guys getting McDavid. It's just something that's such a key piece. And, you know, ideally, if you could draw it up that way for us to get Austin Matthews down the middle, absolutely. But you can't plan for that. These guys know that. And you know, the center ice position is obviously very, very valuable. But, you know, we had Ryan Johansson here, and it didn't work. He wasn't that number one piece that these guys have always been searching for. So then he's moved on. They've parlayed that piece into a nice defensive position. And you know, John Tortorella, talking about him, he loves that defensive game first, that mentality. So if you've got Bobrovsky, some good defensemen, you've got to pick up another centerman, you're right. But, I mean, even a defensive-minded center, Dubinsky goes head-to-head with any line in the league at any given night. He loves that challenge, and he does very well at it. But as far as having that number one guy to be that elite player, I mean, you know, you look at some of these teams, you look at Ottawa with the attack from the back end with Karlsson. When you have that guy that can get up and down the ice, I don't know if it's almost a rover position. You look at Buffalo and Winnipeg. It takes a little heat off the centerman because usually they got to play low and be offensive, but when you have a defenseman that can do that, it almost relieves the pressure of having that number one bona fide centerman.
Yeah, well, it definitely would help for them. And you look at the Blue Jacket, they had a great finish to the season last year, right? To kind of knock them down some rungs in the draft. And I know players never care about that, Jody, at all. And this year, they're heating up in the second half again. And I'm sure some fans are like, hey, wait a second. If we're not going to, you know, have a great first half, why are we putting ourselves in a worse situation? Any answer as to why Columbus, you know, last year I know why they started so bad because of the injuries. But this season, after having such a good finish to the last season, what went wrong in the first half that they've suddenly been able to turn around in the last 5 weeks?
That's a great question. And I think it's a combination of what you talked about off the top. You know, this team had expectations. They just turned the organ on in here in the building for tonight. They have the expectations on them coming into this season. And I think everybody here felt really good about this team and what they were eating. And I think they showed their youth immediately when the season starts. I mean, you don't go into New York. You don't have New York in your building and be up 2-1. With 5 minutes left and then lose the game 4-1 when New York scores three quick goals and you're wondering what just happened. I mean, we were on a charter to New York, and then before the puck dropped, just after the puck dropped in New York City the next night, we were down 3-0. So a lot of bad happened right away, which I think these young guys actually thought, this isn't supposed to be happening. We're supposed to be good. And then they just reeled. And when you're real, your goalie loses confidence. And when that happens, that big old snowball starts rumbling down the hill, and it just builds speed, and it took a lot for them to stop it, realize what they are, and get back to their identity, which is simple, hardworking hockey.
One last one for you, Jody. Who has the cannon scared the most in your eyes over the years in Columbus? Because, man, there's some glorious reactions of visiting media people and stuff who literally come out of their skin when that comes off.
Well, you know what's funny? Is when you get the visiting team sitting in the booth next to us up in the building, when they introduce the team, it always fires off for the first time of the night. So tonight we'll probably see Drew Amenda jump at least a foot and a half when that thing goes off. But I think Torch is still jumping, because I mean, he's only been here for a few months, and I don't think he jumps a little and then he's got, you know, something to say about it. So he's still adjusting, but that's one of those things that came legendary here in that All-Star game where it went off something like 28 times or something ridiculous. And I think the players, I just talked to Connor McDavid and I asked him if he knew anything about Columbus. He said, the only thing I really know about is that cannon you guys got in the building.
Well, do Columbus fans love it, or do some people like, oh, it's too loud, or do they just used to it? They love it.
I think they love it. You know, I mean, it means the goal has been scored. So I think they absolutely love it.
Well, I would hope they do. I think it's fantastic. I mean, it annoys the hell out of the opposition, even better. So.
Absolutely.
Jody, always good to catch up with you, man. Enjoy the broadcast tonight.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you later.
You bet.